I want you to turn today to the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 1. Today, we begin a new series of lessons. Today being February the 5th, 2023, we begin our new series out of the book of Isaiah. It's entitled Messiah, the World's Only Hope. And you know what? He is still the world's only hope today. Amen? He is the world's only hope. While you are turning there, let me remind you that this Friday night is our sweetheart banquet. Amen? And you've got this Friday night. We'll be there at 6:30. It starts at 6:30. Then the meal begins at 7. And I hope that you'll be there, okay? And then be praying also for the upcoming Living Cross. It begins, the first presentation is April the 2nd, and it goes, I think it's April 2nd, April 4th, April 6th, and April 7th. So start inviting folks. We got tickets out there for it now that you can give. We were taking these out the other night, and it gets us in the door to talk to folks and let them know about, you know, the upcoming play. On the back of it, it has the plan of salvation. We got that on there for you. And you can leave that with them, okay, and encourage folks, all right? So I want to just remind you about all that, and we'll go from there, okay? All right, Isaiah chapter number 1. Our theme verse today, the lesson itself is entitled, Needed a Messiah. And surely that was the situation with Judah in Isaiah's day. Our theme verse today is found in verse number 18 of chapter 1. I want you to look at this. Many of you know this verse. You could probably quote it by heart. But it said this, God says to them, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I want to ask you something this morning. What are you in need of most today? You know what? Our world today needs a Savior. Our world needs a Savior. Well, we've seen things happening this week, and we see the mess that our country is in. Goodness gracious. But you know what? What would solve a lot of the issues is if folks get their heart right with God. And the devil has caused confusion and all kinds of problems. But you know what? I'm thankful that we have a Savior. And He wants to be everyone's Savior today. I want us to look at this lesson. I want you to think about something today. When you have children, even grandchildren, and it's good to see y'all's grandchildren here with you today. But you know what? It's a difficult thing when you have to discipline your children or reprove them for some reason. And when you deeply love them and care for them, and yet they turn your reproof, they turn your discipline, they turn your love away. They walk away from it. Discipline is a very necessary thing in life. Okay? In everyday life, you need discipline. And everybody needs that. But you know what the sad thing is when folks know truth and yet they refuse it, they reject it. And that's the situation we find Isaiah in this morning. As he writes this letter to his people, he tells them what God has to say unto them. For so long, the children of Israel, you know, they had rejected God. They rebelled against God. They had chosen to go in the opposite direction that God had placed them going. He wanted them to be the light of the world. He wanted them to take the message of God to all the world. That's God's plan. And yet they chose not to do that. And from the very time in which the Lord delivered them out of bondage there in Egypt until the time that Isaiah was writing these words to his people, those 10 tribes of Israel, the other remaining tribes of Judah, had consistently chosen. They chose. They willingly chose to disobey God and rebel against his instruction. And it caused a sad state of affairs in the nation and in their people. Yet, in this lesson, as I read through this lesson, When we read down through these verses today, we are going to see the loving hand of God, the mercy, the grace that God wanted to extend to His own people. And now as we begin this series of lessons, I want you to see, and I want you to understand God's will for every person, not just Israel, but it's for you and for me as well today. God wants us to love Him enough to choose to obey Him. You know what? If we love someone, you don't have a problem obeying them. My wife, when we got married, one of the vows was that she would love, honor, cherish, and obey. Now, I didn't have to say that to her, but she had to say it to me, okay? And I remind her of that, okay? All right? I do remind her of that every now and then. But you know what? Listen, we want our children to love us enough to trust us, to trust the advice that we give them from the Word of God, to trust us enough to believe what we're telling them is truth, so that they will enjoy the blessings of God in their life and not have to go through the hardships of rebellion and sin. And so it was with God. God wanted them to love Him enough that they would simply obey Him and do what He said do. It's for these reasons that we see in verse number 1. Look at what Isaiah writes. He said, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." Isaiah would endure and be faithful through four kingships in this book that we call the book of Isaiah. But I want you to see here, beginning in verse number 2, I want you to see the Lord's charges against Judah. What did the Lord have against Judah? What did He look at them and get upset about in their lives from day to day? What was it? Well, number one, it was their ignorance, their willful ignorance of their relationship unto God. Folks, you and I today, through Christ Jesus, we have a personal relationship with God, and it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus had not yet come, but the promised Messiah was told, it was foretold that He would come. And they were to choose to believe God's word and receive God's blessings, or they were able to choose not to do that, and they received the disciplining hand of God. Look what verses 2 through 4 tell us this morning. The Bible said, Isaiah writes here, and God is telling Isaiah what to write to His people. But He said this. He said, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Boy, that's a sad verse, is it not? God said, "I have nourished." When they couldn't feed themselves, when they could not provide for themselves, "I've nourished them," God said, "and I brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Now we get that term, stubborn as an ox. Look at this. "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." Well, that's a sad testimony for any group of people. And you know what? Here, God uses His man to speak these words to the children of Israel in order that they might come to understand their situation before the Lord. Folks, listen to me. It's one thing to disobey God, but it's another thing to not realize how far away you are from God. Many times people think that, well, I can just do whatever I want to do. But folks, that's not the situation. Children sometimes think, well, you know, my parents love me. They're not going to do anything about this or that or whatever. But you know what? It still breaks the heart of those parents when our children disobey, they rebel, they reject what we know is truth. And it hurts our hearts. Can you imagine how God's heart must have felt? God told them here in verse number 3, He told them of their willing ignorance. And look what He said. He said, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider." And look at the first part of verse 4. He tells them, he says, "All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors." What was their problem? What was their problem? It wasn't the fact that they were just doing wrong. But you've got to remember, this group of people was God's chosen people. These are the people that God had brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He defeated Pharaoh and his army, and He did miraculous wonders before their eyes, and yet they chose to reject Him. They chose to rebel against Him. And verse 4 tells us here what the problem was. The Bible said they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Folks, never forget how easy it sometimes is to become ignorant of our relationship with God. Never forget where God brought you from and what plan He has for you. And I want you to note here how this ignorance that leads to one's forsaking the Lord was both personal as well as public. You know where it started? It started at home. They forsook the Lord. Where did they forsake Him? In their own lives, in their own homes. Folks, listen to me today. Don't let the devil get you to where you forsake the Lord beginning at home. We can expect these kind of battles out in the world, can we not? We can expect the lost world around us to be upset because we talk about Christ, we name the name of Christ, we pray before we eat our meals, we thank the Lord God that gave us that meal. We can expect the world to do things like that, but when we at home say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about it, God knows my heart. And I've heard people say that. God knows my heart. Yeah, He knows your heart is wicked and deceitful. That's exactly what He knows. And folks, listen, it all began at home. And sad to say, their passion for obedient service unto the Lord, their passion for always putting the Lord first, became less and less as time continued on. Why? Because they lost that love, that zeal for the Lord, and they became ignorant of their relationship with the Lord. They forgot what God had done for them. But number 2, I want you to see this. They not only forgot and became ignorant, but the Bible said they became indifferent to the chastisement of God in their lives. I never will forget. We came home one day, and our children were in our Christian school, and my son had gotten in trouble, and he knew he was going to be in trouble when he got home. And he came home, and he had prepared himself for Dad getting home. And I came in, and I said, "Stephen, we got to talk." "Yes, sir." I said, "You know what you did was wrong." "Yes, sir." I said, "You know that you have to get a spanking for this." "Yes, sir." And he bent over, and I took the paddle. I had a paddle there, and we called it Mom's Helping Hand, okay? And it was in the shape of a hand, okay? And we called it Mom's Helping Hand, and I bent him over, and I popped him one good time, and it didn't sound right. It just didn't sound right. And so I gave him the other 2 licks, pop, pop. And that rascal turned around and looked at me with a smirk on his face, and he said, "That didn't even hurt." Well, the anger of the Lord, I mean, of the anger of the Father came upon me. And we got down to the meat of the matter. That young'un had put on like 4 pairs of jeans and had a couple pairs of underwear on because he knew he was going to be in trouble when I got home. And you know what? We took care of that. We got down to the meat of the matter, and the three licks then, he wept and wailed and carried on for a good while after that. But you know what? These folks had become indifferent. They had hardened their hearts toward the chastisement of God. Now you listen to me today. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Why does he chasten us? Because he wants us to be restored to a state of fellowship with him. He wants us to be restored to a heart that is willing to listen and to learn to obey him in all things. The Bible said here in verses 5 through 9, God now asked them the question. He said, why should you be stricken anymore? You'll revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. That word indifference, that word literally means a willful lack of interest or concern for someone or for something. And surely that described the people of God in Isaiah's day. They were indifferent. And sadly, it's an accurate description of our nation and the world in which we live today. They are indifferent unto God's chastening hand. They're indifferent. They've rebelled against God. And the more God chastens them, the more they seemingly hate God. God had chastened them. But the more that God chastened them, the more they refused to repent of their sin and accept God's chastening hand and accept God's truth upon them. And so God weepingly calls out unto them, and he said, why should you even be stricken anymore? You'll just revolt more and more. They were indifferent. Now I want you to see how God describes them here. God describes them as a bruised body. A bruised body. Look what he said. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In God's eyes, their continued rebellion and rejection of his chastisement without any sort of repentance toward the Lord had caused them to be seen as nothing but a bruised and bleeding body. Boy, that's sad. That's sad. God saw them as just nothing very worth bringing glory over whatsoever. The glory of God's people was gone. And over, God had tried to get their attention through chastisement. Over and over again, God had tried to get their attention and urge them to repent of their sin. Yet God's own people failed to see things the way God saw them. Now, folks, let me ask you something today. I believe with all my heart, but I want to ask you today, do we not see this happening in our own country today? Sometimes I think, and I don't mean to just single them out, but I think about the state of California and how wicked they have become. And just, I mean, and it's sometimes I wonder if the Lord's just not going, one of these days there's going to be an earthquake and they're just going to roll off into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. It'll become the Atlantic somewhere around there, okay? Big earthquake, yeah. But you know what, folks? Listen, I see all these things happening in our world today. And are we not just as the people of God were? We have become indifferent. We have become as a bruised body. And look at this. He said in verses 7 through 9, Jerusalem became a besieged city. It was overtaken by the nations around them. I think that's what we're seeing today. When a balloon from communist China can tell us that they're going to do weather statistics and weather information and send two balloons out, actually. I think it was two balloons actually went out. And one goes from one coast to the other coast of our country while we're sitting there and saying, oh, look at the pretty balloon. Folks, we got a mess in our country today. Listen, Jerusalem became a besieged city. Look what he said here, beginning in verse 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. When I read that, I thought about Baltimore just a few years ago. How they went out there and they willfully burned the city. And as the people came in, the fire departments came in trying to put the fire out. There were people out there cutting the hoses so they could not put the fires out in the city. My soul. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. And except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Folks, I believe today what is causing God's staying hand from sending His judgment down is that small remnant today of godly people, godly Christians, folks that know God and continue to try to reach their world with the gospel. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet, Brother Paul wrote, and he asked the question, yet how should they hear without a preacher? Listen, we need to declare the gospel everywhere we go. And I believe that God has left a small remnant all across our nation, across our world, of people that love the Lord. And they're trying their best to tell people about Jesus from this country to other countries. They're trying to do what God said do. Because had it not been for that small remnant, the Bible said here, Jerusalem would have been as Sodom. They would have been as Gomorrah, destroyed, brought down to ashes. You can't find them today. They're still trying to figure out where they were actually at. And folks, today, listen, God had warned His people back in Deuteronomy chapter number 28. I don't have time to read these verses to you. But He talked about the curses that would come upon them if they turned their back on the Lord and if they disobeyed Him. And now Isaiah is writing them and telling them, it's coming, it's coming. And except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a small remnant, a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and should have been like unto Gomorrah, wiped out of existence. That's what they deserved. Hey, folks, be honest with you, that's what we deserve today for our sin. But you know what? God is merciful. Amen. I want you to see also the insincerity of their worship of God. They were not sincere in their worship. When I always go around and I try to tell my wife every day I love her. Always tell her. Listen, if I tell Precious I love her, I got to tell my wife. Amen. I'm just kidding you. I always tell my wife first thing, okay? But listen, I want her to know I am sincere about this thing, okay? I truly love her. It's not just because she makes great biscuits and butter and all that stuff. It's not because she's a good cook or she washes my clothes or anything. It's because I love her. And you know what? We need to be sincere with our love, not only for one another, but unto God. And listen, the children of Israel had gotten mechanical in what they did. They were following after the traditions of their fathers, the traditions of their religion. And the Bible said here, beginning in verse number 10, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." My soul. What in the world had they done? Let me tell you what they had done. They had become mechanical. They had become insincere. The fact of the matter was this. The heart of the problem of the lives of these people was a problem with the heart. And what they did just because they felt like they were having to do it. But it didn't mean anything to them to do it. You know, when we forget why we get to go to church, and when we forget why we're able to come into a Sunday school class and have fellowship together and sit down with the Word of God and be able to study it and to hide its words in our heart, that we what? Might not sin against who? Against God. There's a purpose in what we do. But in the lives of the children of Israel, in the temples in which they worshiped, it was just tradition. It was just mechanical. It didn't mean anything in their heart. They did not take time to think about what God had delivered them from and what God had a plan for them for in the future. They had become insincere. And these Jews, which were still somewhat religious, if you'll remember, the religious crowd was the one that crucified our Savior. They rejected the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They turned away the Messiah. I decided on Friday that I was going to, they had asked me again about being in the play this year. I said, no, I'll let somebody else be one of those old priests. And Mrs. Rather came to me. She said, man, we really were counting on you to do that again. We really need you. How do you tell that woman no? I mean, good grief. And so I figured Friday, okay. All right, I'll go ahead and do it. I'll do it. And I got to thinking about the part. I've got to be one of those mean, cruel priests. And I'm going to tell you, man, last year, it brought tears to my heart to play a part where they rejected God. And I'll be honest with you, I prayed before the play. I took time to pray. I said, now, Lord, I want you to understand we are portraying what happened. God, this is not me. I don't want you to think I hate you. I love you. And I don't want you to think that I don't. But what had happened, these people's hearts had become hardened against the will of God. You know where it came from? All the way back in the book of Genesis. When Adam sinned against God. And one day when Adam's sons, Cain and Abel, came of age where they offered up sacrifices for themselves and for their families. Guess what? Abel offered up the sacrifice of the lamb as he was supposed to have done. But Cain chose not to do it. And he gave the best of his own good works. He gave the best of his own hands. And he said, if God don't like this, then he's just got trouble, doesn't he? And you know what? I looked at that story this week. And the Bible said in Genesis chapter 4, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Why did God have respect unto that? Because that was what God had told them to do. The lamb, the innocent, given for the guilty. And Abel did that which he was supposed to do. But the Bible said, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And instead of being brokenhearted, and instead of saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I should have given you a lamb. I'll go back and do that. The Bible said here in verse 5, and Cain was very wroth. He was mad. He was angry. And his countenance fell. As long as he was doing what he thought would please God, he was happy. He was smiling, saying, look what I've done. And God said, it's not what you've done, but it's what I've told you to do that you've rejected. And God pleaded with Cain in verses 6 and 7. And God said unto him, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Hey, listen, years ago, they used to have a little thing going out that said, the devil made me do it, the devil made me do it. You remember that? But let me tell you something. The devil can't make you do anything. You and I choose to do what is in our heart to do unto God. And Cain chose to reject God. He chose to reject God. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord, unto these people in Israel? That's what he said. He said, it's fake. It's not true. I'm full of these burnt offerings. I'm tired of it. I don't have anything else to do with it. So look at verses 16 through 20. We see the Lord's challenge to Judah. He tells them in verses 16 and 17, he said, wash you, and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. In other words, stop living such a wicked lifestyle of sin and rebellion, and turn back unto me. Is that not what God asked Cain to do as well? And Cain rose up against his own brother and killed him, and then blamed everything on God. And that's the exact same things that these people did. God said, change your path, folks. Change your path. And then in verse 18, he said, listen to me. I want you to consider my pardon that I have for you. Consider my pardon. He said, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God said, consider all that I'm able to do for you if you will only come unto me. Listen to what he said. He said, consider my pardon for your sin. He said, consider my plan for your lives. Consider my purpose for telling you what I'm telling you. And consider my promise that I will wash away your sin. I will forgive you of these things. Come now and let us reason together. In other words, let us sit down and consider the conclusion of the whole matter that's been set before you. He gives them the opportunity. He gives them the opportunity. Brother Bill, would you help right here with that just a second, please? I appreciate that. Sorry. That's okay. We'll get it up. Hey, listen, it kind of reminds us of what Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 5, does it not? Where Paul wrote, he said, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And you know what? God had a plan. He had a purpose. And God wanted them to remember that though their sins be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like, as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And you know what, folks? I remember the day when I got saved as a 15 and a half year old boy. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. I remember that Friday night, taking that bath and watching that dirty water go down the drain. It was like the Spirit of God said, gone, gone. Your sins are gone. Never to be seen anymore. That's what God wanted to do for these people. But then I want you to look at the chastening of Judah. The Lord's chastisement upon them. He said in verses 19 and 20, he said, if you will be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And boy, we know that later on that's exactly what happened. And look what he said, the chastisement. He gives the reason for their chastisement. It was corruption. They were corrupt. Look what he said, verses 21 through 23. How has the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. It was full of righteousness. Righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers. Thy silver is become dross. Dross is that ugly, dirty stuff that's within the silver. And they have to get that out in order to refine the silver, to make it purified. And listen to me. When that dross is in there, it distorts the beauty of the silver. And that's exactly what sin had done in their lives. And that's what sin does in our lives if we allow that to happen. Do you realize that today? Listen to me. He said, thy silver is become dross. Thy wine is mixed with water. That wine he's speaking of here is that pure fruit of the vine. That when Jesus made that fruit of the vine and gave it to that wedding feast, they said, man, you've hidden the best stuff for last. Why? Because it was not watered down. It was not taken down. My wife loves this bottled water stuff that's got a flavor of grapes or oranges or stuff like that. I said, man, that is nasty. Just give me some good old grape juice. Give me the whole thing. Don't water it down. I don't want my water tasting faintly like orange juice or cherries or whatever. Good night. And that's what God said. This is what your life has become. All because of corruption. And then he told them of the reality of chastisement through correction. Verses 24 through 26. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy sin. I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness. Listen, these folks had become compromisers. They had taken bribes. They had done everything they ought not do to get what they wanted in life. And God said, what you need is a Messiah. What you need is the Savior. And God promised that he would send it. Listen, folks, God's grace and God's mercy has been made available unto you and me today, even as it was for Judah and Jerusalem. But we got to choose what we're going to do with it. Or we're going to receive it, or we're going to reject it. Or we're going to live for God. Child of God, listen, will you not only receive him today as your Savior? It's good to be saved, but it's better to be obedient unto the one who has saved you. And that's where we need to be today. Needed a Messiah. Our world needs him today. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today. And I thank you, God, for this first lesson. I know, Lord, the time is short. And Lord, I haven't been able to get it all in like I needed to today. But you know what? Lord, we have the Word of God before us. And I pray, God, that you'll use it to speak to our hearts today. Bless our folks that are here. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach the Word of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. Speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.